26. Gabe had tried to talk Jenny out of it. He'd practically learned the big book of girls' names off by heart, but she had been adamant. "I want to call her Isabella." And they had had a deal. If it was a girl, she would choose. A boy, and the choice would be Gabe's. Gabe had thought it was a little sexist, but he also knew not to argue with a pregnant woman. The more he tried to persuade her, the more Jenny dug in her heels. He'd always loved that about her, her stubbornness, her unwillingness to buckle just to please or pacify someone else. But on this issue, he wished she could just be a little more compliant. "Most wives wouldn't want to choose a name their husbands didn't like," he had pointed out. "Most wives don't have such arseholes for husbands. What is your bloody problem with Isabella anyway?" He couldn't answer her. Couldn't explain. He certainly couldn't persuade Jenny to change her mind, so he tried to persuade himself that it was just a name. A pretty name. And this was their Isabella. Their baby. A completely new person. It was true that when she was born, he very quickly forgot everything except how beautiful she was, how noisy she was, how incredible and exhausting it was now that one tiny little person had completely taken over their lives. But he still chose to call her Izzy instead. And the nightmares came back. He told himself it was just the stress of fatherhood. He told himself it was only natural. His head was all over the place. He would adjust. Things would settle down. He tried not to listen to the insistent little voice that told him that calling their precious little girl Isabella was a portent of doom. A jinx. He stood so quickly the coffee cup wobbled and slopped cold dregs over his saucer. How could he have forgotten what day it was? Visiting day. How could he have not heard his phone ping with the reminder? Shit, shit, shit. He gathered his things and stuffed them back in his bag. He had to go, now. He hurried across to the camper van and pulled out his keys. He frowned. The side door was open, just a fraction. Had he forgotten to lock it, or had someone broken in? He pulled the door open and climbed inside. There was a man in the van, sitting calmly on the small bunk seat. Even more oddly, Gabe recognized him. It was the young police officer he'd seen in the coffee shop, the traffic cop flying solo. The disparity, the sheer strangeness, threw him for a moment. "I'm sorry, but what..." The man rose and struck him in the face. It was so sudden, so unexpected that Gabe didn't even have a chance to raise an arm to defend himself. His head rocked back against the side of the van. His legs wavered. Before he could straighten, the man punched him again, in the throat. Gabe gasped, choking, trying to draw breath. His throat burning like someone had rammed hot coals down it. The man picked up Gabe's messenger bag. "No," he tried to yell. But it came out as, "No!" Gabe grabbed for the bag, managed to snag the strap. The man threw another punch. Gabe ducked his head to one side. He held tight as the man pulled at the bag. They tugged back and forth, Gabe somehow finding strength in desperation. The man drew back his arm and punched him sharply in the side. Hot, burning pain. Gabe grabbed instinctively at his stomach, letting go of the bag. The man snatched it, shoved the door open, and jumped outside. Gabe lurched after him, but the pain reeled him back. He fell to the floor. Through the open door, he could see the man sauntering casually away. He tried to reach for the door, to pull himself up, missed, and fell out of the van onto the rough tarmac. He screamed, clutching at his side, which seemed to be leaking something hot and wet. The man was just a silhouette now. He couldn't let him go. The bag held everything. His laptop, the Bible, the notebook, the hair bobble. It was all he had. He tried to drag himself along the ground, but his energy was seeping out of him. He rolled onto his back, gasping for air. It was too thick with petrol and fumes. The sky was too bright. He closed his eyes. Faintly he could hear shouting. Then, closer, a voice. "Oh my God! Christ! What's happened?" He couldn't answer. The darkness was soothing, like a balm. There would be no more pain there. But the voice was insistent.
Open your eyes. Look at me. I'm calling an ambulance, but you have to wake up.
He opened his eyes. A face loomed over him. Familiar. Nice, but tired. The kind waitress. He drew his hand away from his side and stared, bemused, at the red dripping from his fingers.
I think I've been stabbed.